Leaning forward with my dictaphone in the innocuous front room of a bed and breakfast, I asked Comte Malanga, gap-toothed playwright and dissident, what constraints there are on free expression in his native Zimbabwe. "You have no idea," he said, looking at me fixedly. "You have no idea." Malanga has been a constant thorn in the side of President Robert Mugabe. After the curtain call at one of his earliest plays, officials from the state took to the stage to denounce him and his work. How dare he criticize the black heroes of the liberation? Asked to explain himself there and then, Malanga, himself black, said that his writing had spoken for him. The actors were asked, but said they could not speak for the playwright. Then members of the audience spoke up to praise the work for giving them a voice. I asked Malanga how far he had dared go with his most recent play, The Good President, which was as bitterly sarcastic and thinly disguised about Mugabe as the title suggests. Remarkably, it played in Harare under the president's nose. After each performance, Malanga would sit down and discuss it with his audience. Each night, he noticed a series of secret policemen taking a seat, each more senior than the one before, each equally stony-faced. But it was when he took the play to Matabeleland that something snapped. The actors were in their dressing rooms, the audience were in their seats when police arrived and ordered Malanga to cancel. He refused. They went away, but came back in the cars and garb of traffic cops, making it appear that he would be arrested for speeding. "Go on stage now and tell them there is no play tonight," they told him. He replied, "I will not tell them. You must tell them." So the show did not go on, but the following night Malanga decided to try again. The first scene played without incident. Then uproar. Armed police stormed the auditorium, descending from the balcony and shouting at people to leave or face the consequences. The audience fled in panic. At that point, Malanga called the production off, realizing that someone could soon get hurt. This is a man who will sacrifice himself, but not others, for his art. It is apparently Robert Mugabe's intention to render political theatre invisible in today's Zimbabwe. So Malanga turned the idea against him with what he calls invisible theatre. He took unknown actors into shopping malls to act out scenes and interact with the public. Sometimes, after the actors had moved on, the public was still debating. But eventually, even these guerrilla performances came under the scrutiny of spies in the crowd. I asked Malanga how old he is. It was the only question he refused to answer, stroking his white beard and telling my dictaphone that he is an old man. It struck me that he was enduring a warped existence that might come from the darkest recesses of Franz Kafka's imagination. Posters for his plays are torn down. Stories appear in newspapers, painting him as an enemy of the people. Secret policemen let it be known that they are looking for him. How? They visit his home in the knowledge he is not there, so the word will get out. They question neighbours, market traders, well-known actors about him, so he will soon learn they are on his trail. "Then I have a choice," he says. "Do I stay and maybe die, or do I run for the border?" He could go into exile, and yet he decides to stay and fight with the only weapon he has, the pen. One time, detained at the central police station, he declared that if he was going to jail, he would start an outreach program to bring theatre into prisons. He was released, but started the outreach program all the same. Malanga's international reputation is now his best defense. Whenever he is brought in for questioning, the news spreads like wildfire, and the outcry soon brings about his release. There is now effectively a ban on his work, except in a village where he got himself elected councillor. Just as the Market Theatre in South Africa held up a mirror to apartheid, so Malanga believes in the power of theatre to change Zimbabwe. He says, "Art is most important of all. With the news, you only get one version of events. Art is the best way of telling the rest of the world what is happening." And inevitably, every play currently performed in Zimbabwe crackles with political significance. Malanga again. "You can't get more political than Shakespeare, who wrote about kings. But even when you tell a joke in the street, that is political. When there is so much going on, everything is political." I wish I had a camera when he got up and showed me his impression of Mugabe descending the stairs from a plane, dancing nimbly and preening his jacket. The urban myth has it that the president flies to China before his birthday every year to be drained of all his blood, then replenished with the blood of the young. We were talking in Pretoria on the eve of South Africa's presidential inauguration. We agreed that, for all its problems, South African journalists and writers enjoy freedoms that Malanga can only dream about. Finally, after an hour and a half, I stopped recording and wished him well. Malanga was about to head to London, where last year he won the inaugural Orient Global Freedom to Create Prize, which honours the role of the arts in promoting human rights. I thought about South Africa's own recent struggle as I climbed past statues and war memorials in the grounds of the Union buildings. The crowds roared and whistled as Jacob Zuma was sworn in. Then I looked down and felt in my pocket. My dictaphone had gone, liberated by a light-fingered thief. My conversation with Malanga had gone with it. It was not, I hoped, an augury at the inauguration.